And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back, hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Corey Sandin, and we just heard from Rick coming back from the Eastern Sierras from adventure and camping, having a great time up there.
That's incredible.
With Wyatt's first adventure in Dallas.
Yeah, that's fall color.
Fun. Oh, yeah. And we have a great show going on here. It's lobster season. Almost here. It's right on the corner.
Man.
And we have Steve and Will from Promar Nets and Promar Ahi talking lobster. A lot of interest in going lobster
fishing. Oh, it's huge.
I mean, it's so much fun.
It's so close. It's in the harbor. I mean, sand bass, calico bass, you have to travel further.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's right there.
Don't have to burn a lot of fuel.
I know it. Yeah. I like it.
Unless you're going to Catalina.
Right? But Catalina could be pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. If you want to join us and all this lobster talk, and we'll talk anything you want, man. Dorado, tuna, some good bluefin fishing that Will just had a couple days ago. 213-432-1090 is your telephone number there to get a hold of us here at Let's Talk Hookup, or text us via the app, because we are giving away both a texter and a caller. Each are going to win a $50 gift certificate to Promar.
Yeah.
They can choose their own stuff, their accessories, whatever they want.
So they can go right online, right, Steve?
Right,
and
yeah,
just use that gift card to go right online and Go ahead.
Exactly. So promarahi.com, and it doesn't necessarily have to be lobster products. I mean, we talked jigs earlier.
Yeah.
It can be anything. If you're going to be going rock fishing or after those tuna, we got everything for you.
Hey, the coolest thing I've ever seen for Promar, the coolest thing is the bait catcher, where it goes back into back into the blank.
Every private boat should have one. Those things are great to make bait. I mean, it's always ready. Normally, you take your sabiki rig, use it once, and you throw it away. Well, with that sabiki rod,
wind
it's good
right
to
up.
Go.
That.
Exactly.
It's a must-have.
Yep.
I have one on my boat.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Got to get one.
All right, let's continue our catcher court. Report our surf guru himself, Gundy Gunderson, is here. Good morning, Gundy.
Good morning, Gundy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, you are. Tell us about the surf fishing.
Man, a lot on the plate, you know.
Yeah.
Great time of year, isn't it, to be in Southern California?
Oh, yeah. The best.
You know, we have I'll call it the tale of two cities. On the northern front, you know, Point Vicente, Palos Verdes north, clean, warm water, you know, typical this time of year, summertime fishing. But from Long Beach south, just a lot of streaky off-color water. What happened is we got that super warm water pushed in from the hurricane, and then we got some west winds and some water rolled over on the beach. And that water that rolls over on the beach and out of those canyons, that's, you know, low 60s. So there's a weird mix there, and you got a lot of sun, warm weather, so there's some red tide streaked in there. So the guys struggled down there. There was some good stretches, but overall the focus was up north. Hook, line, sinker reported good halibut fishing on the western beaches there. Several legal fish to 34 inches taken off the beach, but the kayakers were the story this week. They were launching from the beach, and they took a 40-inch and a 44-inch halibut. Those are 30-pound class fish just outside the surf line. Drop shot zoom flukes were the hot rig there, and they were launching at Tahiguas, which is just above Refugio. You know, it's a real kind of remote stretch up there. And you get up in those waters and fish, you know, micro fish like that in a kayak, and you're going to find some good fishing. There's also some real nice calico bass being taken up along that same stretch there. Off Goleta Mesa on the beach, a shop regular took 8 short halibut and a 30-inch legal, and another angler had 4 legal fish to 28 inches fishing the same stretch. using the old-fashioned grub there. Corbina catches were good from Goleta to Santa Claus Lane, and Wiley's reported excellent fishing on the reef beaches, spots like Big Rock, El Pescador, Las Flores, lots of quality calico bass. I think a six-pounder was a big fish, some chunky sand bass in there, yellowfin croaker, sargo, cabazon, rock bass, all in the mix. Squid and shrimp, real good. Swim baits also producing at first light. The real good tides, new moon tides, I think, was the key there. Good Corbina catches reported from Sycamore and Coastline Drive. Just Fishing reported good Corbina catches all along South Bay beaches there. The beach traffic's down. And the specialists are getting on the fish. A couple of four-pound class fish this week. More and more bonita showing in and around the harbor. That's typical this time of year. And then, like I said, from Long Beach South, a different story. Lots of streaky water and, you know, kind of explain that red tide deal. Some of the guys started picking up a few Corbina down North County beaches there, dropping down to four-pound test. But it'll bounce back. It's just taking a little time and you know, what do? You just got to deal with it. That's what the surf guy does.
That's it, yeah, man. It happens. Almost legal halibut, man.
Yeah,
North.
Some nice. You know, Corey, I wanted to ask you, you know, you see a lot of calico bass specialists fishing, you know, my neck of the woods there, Dana and South County. But do you really see a lot of guys go up, like, off Big Rock, Pescador, some of those reef beaches there above west of Malibu and fish those shallow boilers? Because, boy, we get some reports of some real quality bass taken from the guys shore fishing. You'd think there'd be some good angling from the skiff. What do you know about that?
Well, the skiff fishing on the boiler rocks can be phenomenal, right? But
yeah.
It's a lot more fun, I think, from the beach sometimes. I mean, it could go either
yeah.
way, Gundy, but, you know,
yeah.
you're a lot stealthier when you're on the bank and you know
yeah.
what you're doing. And, hey, let's just say it. The bigger the bait, the bigger the fish you're going to draw, right? I mean.
Yeah, and essentially when you're fishing from a skiff, you're targeting some of those areas that are reachable from the beach, too. That's the most dynamic part of that is a surf interacting with the reef, you know, knocking feet around and stuff in there. And that, so you're right there on the beach. But it's just interesting because I don't see a lot of guys, you know, targeting up there. Fiorentino, Benny, he does a little fishing up there. But you don't see a lot of calico bass guys hitting it up there, do you?
But it's tough to get your skiff in. I mean, it's easy to get it in 20 feet of water and to throw
yeah.
in the spots that might be white water, but
yeah.
you can't hit the 90% of it, right? You can't
yeah.
be in 10 feet of water thrown into the white water most places. It's
yeah,
it's just not doable. Yeah.
yeah.
From the surf,
yep.
it's a lot of fun and just a fun way to do it. And
yeah.
yeah. I appreciate it.
And you got to fish that heavy line, you know, and expect that big bite.
You know what I've been doing this last couple years with your reports, Gundy, is I fish a really light rod, like a 12 to 15-pound rod with a 5-inch weedless and with a 40, 50-pound leader. And
yeah.
there's no BS involved. Like,
yeah.
I've had 5.5, 6-pound calico. I've had legal halibut. When you're talking about a guy north of Santa Barbara catching 4 legal halibut in a session, it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a heavy
yeah.
It's happening. Yep. yeah. Hey, guys.
Yeah, they're not
picky.
Great job on the surf report. We had your guy Breck from Hogan's on yesterday. He did a great job talking surf fishing in Gundy. So it was a good job referring us over there. And, hey, we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Great show, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right.
Man,
thanks,
his reports are always awesome. And it's brought to you by Bill Varney. You can join him. Join Bill Varney and CCA October 1st.
Next Saturday.
Yes, next Saturday for an on the beach surf clinic at Morro Bay. Man, if you're up in that area, just want to go to where they catch some monster surf perch.
Oh, yeah.
Red tails and all kinds of different ones that we don't get here. Join them. Learn how to fish, catch bait, all from the surf. For details about the clinic, go online at fishthesurf.com. And when you're there, click on the information for a seminar tab, and you'll
find
everything you need for Morro Bay.
Yeah. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones, Corey.
How about Mike? Mike, calling from Rosemead. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. I think you have to be – good morning. I think you have to be a lawyer to understand all the rules and regulations for lobster fishing or lobster catching, whatever you want to say. But that's a good thing. It kind of keeps the riffraff in check. With that being said, the Department of Fish and Wildlife technically, I guess, could come and search a suspected poacher or somebody that has over limits or undersized fish at their residence or wherever. And I think that's kind of the truth. But another thing is the lobsters have to be whole when you bring them home. You can't have them like just tails or
when they're really good question. So there's a few things involved with this because, see, what I mean, you're only allowed how many?
So technically, you're only allowed 7.
Okay, that's for your outing. You go out and let's say Steve and Will are on the same boat. The two of them, you're allowed 14 lobster total.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, at home.
Exactly. So at home, I believe you're only allowed as much as you can actually consume. I don't think there's an actual definition. I might be wrong of how many you're allowed to have. The one thing that you do need to do is take into consideration that if I've never heard of it happening, and I've never, I mean, unless it's someone that's been known for poaching, typically DFW will only go to the residence if there's multiple reports and if it's well known that this person is, you know, doing something illegal like selling lobster or doing something like that. But for the most part, I haven't ever heard of anyone actually...
Somebody going into your freezer.
Right,
no,
yeah.
But until the point of consumption, here's the important law, though, Mike, is in, until the point of consumption, that means you're literally putting it in your mouth, can you not have the tail separated from the head? You have to be able to securely, visibly show the warden the whole thing intact, even if it was from 6 months ago in your freezer. Until the point of consumption.
That's correct.
No, wait. Seriously?
Right? I know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So you have to freeze the whole thing?
You have to freeze the whole thing. And I'm pretty sure the law does say that you actually can only be in possession of 7 at any given time.
Yeah.
As a lobster card.
And so let me ask you, Will, when you come back from Catalina, when do you clean your lobsters?
So being that I'm running a charter for the clients, I teach them how to do it,
how to
walking them through it. But I tell them not to do it until they get home and they're ready to actually consume it.
Yeah. I mean, technically, that's what you're supposed to do.
It's just the way it has to be.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, cooking them, they're so much better, like with the head and the tail and boiled. Or you know what I've done the last couple of years? I really enjoy is steaming them. Steaming, it just keeps the flavor contained within the whole thing. You ever try that one, Steve?
Yeah. Actually, I was on the Gale Force a few years ago, and one of the guys, Marky, who was a chef on the Gale Force, he would actually take a lobster and just throw it in the microwave.
Wow.
And eat it like that. It was crazy. The gnarliest thing. And he had me try it, and it was actually good. I was surprised. He just put a little butter on it. It was raw lobster. He put the tail off and try it and throw it in the microwave, and it was good.
Speaking of raw, have you ever tried them sashimi?
No, I haven't, actually.
If you like raw scallops, you've got to try it.
Yeah. Corey, I haven't tried it, but Corey raised about
it. Oh, it's raw lobster. It's pretty darn
good.
I've
heard it so good.
Yeah. It's really good. Hey, thanks a lot for that call. Cliff in Blossom Valley has a question here, and he wants to know about tide movement. And very good question. When you're in the bay, you have to consider the tide. He says, such as, do you avoid the 5-foot movement? You aim at the peak high, the low tide. What do you think, Will?
Ultimately, I just want it moving. You know, I'm out there a lot. So regardless whether it's coming in, it's going out, if it's 5 feet or less, like, you know, as long as you got some movement of the water, I think you're good. Personally,
5 feet or less.
You know, I don't really have a preference.
Yeah. I mean, if you start getting above 5 feet of movement, there's a lot of movement
in the
tide, right?
So, but here's the thing in that too, Pete, is San Diego Bay, that would be an extreme amount.
Yeah.
Where in Long Beach Harbor or in that zone, you're
so
not
it depends
feeling,
on the bay, right?
It does.
Right. What do you think, Steve?
I'm with Will. I like water movement in general. I usually plan for how much water movement there is. So that all goes to the rigging, preparing your rigging, right? So making sure that if you know there's going to be a 5-foot movement, 8-foot movement, you have enough rigging there to where when that movement does happen, it's not lifting or you don't have an excess of rope in the water. You make it so that your rope is rigged a certain way so that it just runs through your float, and the float basically just is able to move with that current.
Is that the sinker on the one end?
Exactly,
down,
yeah.
So it adjusts. How much, okay, so let's say you're fishing 50 feet of water.
Okay.
How much rope will you have?
So if it's an outbound going tide, you're going to basically fish maybe, I would rig it up for 54 feet, 55 feet, and then have that sinker on the opposite end. So when it drops, now that excess, if it drops 10 feet, or, I mean, that's extreme, but if it drops 10 feet, that 10 feet is brought down by that sinker. It's counterbalanced by that sinker, and now you don't have a bunch of slack line on the water that can get caught up on your prop. And it just makes it cleaner, and your rigging is straight up and down. So
was that the originally designed by Jim Salazar, right?
Exactly.
The sinker rig.
Yeah.
And you have, I know on promarahi.com you have videos of how the, if you don't understand what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, everything in regards to rigging, rigging your bait cage into your hoop net. It's all those resources we have on our website. So definitely check that out.
Is that what you use, Will?
Yeah, so I do mine a little bit differently. Actually, I like the weighted rope.
Okay.
So,
weighted rope.
Yeah, it has its own weight to that. And then
throughout the rope, it's got weight?
It's a lead core rope. So there's actually a lead strand that is ran through the whole rope. So you don't have to worry about anything floating with that.
I have that. Is that a Promar?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you have that on Promar?
Yeah, it's typically what commercial guys use. However, we've made it available now, more popular to the sport guys.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then you just wind the excess line on an extension cord winder, and drop that in, tie it off, and that will sink. So that it's not floating across the surface.
So you have 100 feet of line. You're only fishing 50 feet of water. You just wind the excess onto like that little winding.
Exactly.
And this comes to a text. That's the perfect in line here. And by the way, Mike, thank you for the call. And this is Gary from Gary and Dilzura. He says, I was wondering what you think is the best way to manage the rope that you're not using on each net.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I do. But, you know, many people use the weights, and, you know, whether you use a torpedo sinker at the end or the Promar weight to tie your rope down, but that weighted line extension cord winder works perfect for me, and I do it every time.
Super slick, man. I never even knew about the lead cord.
Yeah, so
when did you come out with that?
That's been around for a few years, it's been made popular. Well, it was primarily for the crabbing guys up in the Pacific Northwest, and we've just recently adopted it for our lobster hooping. There's two options that most people go with. It's either the polyline, which is known to float. That's the one that you're going to want to use a sinker with. However, more and more people are starting to switch over to that lead core rope. And that lead core rope, you basically can rig it. I usually add 5 to 10 feet, depending on tide movement on my rigging, however I'm going to be setting up. And with that, it just sinks out. You know, you don't have to worry about adding anything to it. It just sinks.
Is that a poly rope or is it?
It's more of a nylon rope. It's a heavy duty. I would say it's a little bit more heavy duty than the poly rope. So you can it'll definitely last a little bit longer than the poly rope. And running it through pullers, it does a lot better than the poly rope.
Because poly like frays.
Yeah.
And
right.
The ace line hauler works. It works real well in the ace line hauler.
It works perfect for
it.
It barely frays it.
I see this already. Pete's on promar.com.
Yeah,
promar.com.
Now,
do your dealers also carry that lead rope?
Yes. Oh, the nice thing about the poly rope is that it's spliceable. So if you like to do, you know, custom type rigging or anything like that, you can splice it. With the lead core, it's a little bit harder to do.
That is like so ingenious, really, because when you mentioned a sinker, instantly I'm thinking you're putting the sinker like on the buoy end, like up toward the buoy, so that your slack is weighted down. But really, when you think about it, by putting that weight down by the hoop net, if your buoy gets cut off or by a prop or something like that, you now have the tail end of your line up on the surface. You can still retrieve your net afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty cool.
All right. Some good stuff here. And another one here, an interesting question on the text here. Matt wants to know, what happens if the lobster dies? You've heard that there's poison. I mean, I've heard that before. You don't want to let the lobster die until you tail them. Is that, or cook them? Is there any truth to that rumor?
I've had them both ways, and I can't tell you that they taste any different.
So you haven't died of some poison?
No, not yet. Not as far as I know. I'm still alive.
But,
and
yeah, but just like a fish, you don't want it to be. You want it to be on ice. You want it to be chilled, and you want it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just goes back to that. I mean, keeping it as fresh as possible. Yeah. If it does,
but if it dies, it's not. Poison.
No, I don't think
so. I tell you what, Pete, I'll have a great program. If any of them die on you, just bring them to me.
Bring them to you? Okay, all right. Yeah, exactly. I don't let them die. They don't last that long in my house. Yeah.
I actually keep them in my bait tank just to keep them from dying, but it wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, yeah, so for sure. And they stay. Like, if you just keep them cool, they don't even need water.
Exactly. Right? So Jim Salazar was the one that told me that, you know, if you have an ice chest, you don't need to put any water. Just put a towel, soak it in salt water, mm-hmm. and throw it on top of them. And that should be enough to keep them alive for, he said he's kept some alive for a couple days, few days.
I've done it for 4 or 5 days, actually.
Yeah.
The important thing, you can do it with fresh water. Fresh water will kill them instantly.
Yeah, don't do it with fresh water.
But here's what I do, Pete. I take the towel. And I do it in fresh water, but I wring it out so that it's not dripping.
So it's moist.
Yes. So it's moist but not dripping with water.
Yeah.
And lay that over them, and it just keeps them from drying out.
Right.
All right.
It works good.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Let's do it. How about Hills? Hills from Ventura. Good morning. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Cookup, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. It's so exciting with the season opening up, and it's great that the commercial guys hold back for a couple of days, but I was really wanting to ask Will what's the report on that trip to Channel Islands, because I live in the area, and what was it?
He caught some fish.
You know, it was really good fishing, and typically this season I've been fishing a lot of the Osborne area, the Snail, 499, San Clemente, Catalina type stuff, but you know, there's a lot of boat traffic there over the weekend, and just not really the mass of fish that we saw. So I decided to make a big change, and it paid off. You know, we got some kite bites, we got some Mad Mac fish, we got spreader bar fish. There's really just a ton of fish out there, and not a lot of boats. You know, the weather was up quite a bit, so it did make conditions a little bit hard to fish, but we were able to make it happen.
That's cool, and the fish. The fish are moving right now.
Yes.
Yeah, they're here one place and they're moving to the other place. It's hard to say, you know, it's kind of a transition time anyway.
Yeah, even yesterday they were moving fast. It was hard to stay in front of
them. Are they moving north?
They're moving north.
Yeah. They're catching them off of Morro Bay. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Are you going to run that far?
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, not on a 23 Parker, right?
Yeah,
it shows you how good those Parkers are, man. It's 23 Parker. You can go a lot of places. And think about where Will just said he goes in that 23 Parker. They go a lot of places. And you're, you know, in that 2320, you're warm and comfortable inside and got to be great for hooping. And
Absolutely. Those cold nights coming back. In
the winter.
Yeah, it's perfect for hooping.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back, man. More lobster talk, all this good stuff. I'm waiting for Pete to fill me in with my my lobster program I got coming up, man. Check out all those dead ones.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back, and let's talk hook up. More Steve and Will when we return on Let's Talk Hook Up after Miter 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I got to tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling I-11SS and made it even better. Then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs, featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair-style seat that is comfortable. Or the all-new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand-up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar-sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop, right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Llanero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach.
We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know, it's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Lanero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Lanero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Lobster season is here. It's time to gear up with the best in the business. Promar, based in SoCal. Promar knows lobster and makes everything you need to catch these tasty critters. The Promar guys are hardcore lobster fishermen and have designed the most successful hoop nets and accessories on the market, including the new Ambush XLHD, 23-pound, 36-inch rigid hoop net, the largest allowed by law. Visit Promar on Facebook or on the web at promarahi.com. Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having so much fun and just a great time talking lobster.
Yeah.
It's so hard to believe it's a week away.
I mean, a lot of great phone calls, a lot of great texts coming through. And, you know, I know Dave is out on War Heroes on the Water.
Yeah.
We probably won't hear from Captain Dave there, but I just want to remind you the report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, the best processing for your fish when your trip returns, plus the Fish Pros, the market. You can purchase their fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, of course, the pokey kit, which is, like, awesome. We use
ceviche.
That all the time. The ceviche spice, all that good stuff. Two burgers, all that good stuff. Stop by their Old Town location on Taylor Street. You can order everything online at fishermansprocessing.com. And make sure you make your reservations for this year, next year, for your processing when your trip returns. All you have to do is just text them at 619-255-3128. That's
simple.
Fisherman's Processing.
Easy.
Super simple stuff, for sure. Hey, interesting question here about kelp crabs. And sometimes, as an incidental catch, and I know over at Catalina Wheel, you probably see some giant ones over there, or spider crabs, kelp crabs, whatever you want to call them. Want to know, is are there any regulations on that? And that came from Rory in Lakeside.
Yeah, for all the regulations, you could just check out the Department of Fish and Wildlife website or any other books, and they have all the details on that. But, you know, there are regulations to the various types of crabs, so make sure you know which ones you're catching and which ones you can keep and what the size limit is, if there is one.
That's funny. I saw a text from Jim Salazar. He said, don't forget the crabs.
Yeah.
The stone crabs.
The stone crabs, the rock crabs.
Stone crabs are awesome.
Delicious. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you, again, regulations, you have to have the 4-inch gauge that, you know, from left to right.
Right, exactly. And I was going to say,
does Promar make that?
Yeah, with the Promar gauge, the lobster gauge, it's crab on one side and it's lobster on the other. So if you have a Promar gauge, you can use both. Yeah, but I know only certain types of crab have the regulation. Some of them are open pretty much year round. There's no size regulation. So as Will said, make sure you're referring to your the book, the Fish and Wildlife book, just to make sure that you know which size, which crab require those size limits.
Yeah, the spider crab, I don't know if they do or not.
I don't think there is.
There is no regulation.
Yeah.
There's not a size limit, but I believe there's a quantity.
A quantity limit.
You can only keep 25.
You know what?
Is a ton.
Okay. They get so huge, and the darn legs are – the only reason I know this, I live next to a Portugee and Point Loma here. They love the spider crab.
Absolutely.
They do.
I used to have a friend that I used to say, she'd go, "You catch any spider crabs?" "Oh, yeah, we let those go." "No, bring them back to me."
Yeah. But their exoskeleton is so thick.
Yeah.
Their scale is so thick, you can't, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's legit thick.
We take a hammer to them.
Literally. Yeah.
But I guess some good meat in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's crab. Yeah, but rock crab.
They're
super delicious.
Yellow.
But again, the Promar gauge has rock crab on one side and lobster on
exactly,
the other side.
Exactly, yeah. So you'll be prepared for both.
You're good.
And the law on that too, Pete, don't forget, on that rock crab, you have to have the whole crab. You can't just go keeping claws thinking you're
not like a stone crab in Florida.
No.
Yeah.
There is no keeping the left claw letting the right one go. They do in Florida.
Yeah.
You have to have the entire crab.
Yeah.
And one thing I don't know, we were talking about this the other day, is I don't know why crabbing is not as popular here because it's open year round.
You know why? Because we have lobster.
Yeah,
right?
But when you're not lobstering, you could be using the hoop nets to go get some crab.
We're out fishing tuna, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
That's true.
It's just so many things to do here, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back in the phones.
Let's do it. How about Jim? Jim, calling from National City. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Earlier, you were talking about possession of lobster. I wanted to relate a story. Several years back, I was at the Seaforth Landing in the tackle shop, and I was talking to the guy. I think he still works there. I can't recall his name. He works between the front desk and the tackle shop. But anyway, back then, he was a big-time lobster guy, and his father, him and his dad, used to go quite a bit. Well, anyway, I guess he had, four limits in his freezer. The Fish and Game came to his house and went in the backyard where the freezer, chest freezer was, took the bolt cutters, and as this is all going on, his father taped it. I guess the Fish and Game was kind of aggressive or whatever. But so as he's explaining this to me, they took the bolt cutters. Of course, they opened the chest freezer. There were like four limits in there. So they go to court, and the father brings the film that he had filmed this whole procedure. The judge was not happy with how aggressive the Fish and Game people were when they entered his house. But the thing that got him off the hook, he was able to bring friends to testify that those extra lobsters were theirs, and he was storing them there. So anyway, I just thought I'd relay that story. And I found it interesting that they let him off the hook, and part of the reason was their friends had lobster cards all filled out, and they were saying he was storing them for his buddies. But anyway, yeah, that was the fella there at Seaport. And, in fact, I think he still works there. Anyway,
I appreciate the call this morning. Good story.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you're allowed seven. Seven for your license. Mm-hmm. And here's the little trick, Pete. And there is no trick to it. I can gift seven to my wife.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So there, I've got 14.
14. All
you
right.
understand? But that doesn't mean I go
Does
out.
Does she have to have a license?
She doesn't.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean that I go out, man, don't go on my word for crying out loud, but go on the site. Hey, our wardens are enthusiasts of our resource here too.
Yes.
They're fishermen, they're hunters, they're enthusiasts, just like you and I. They're easy to talk to, easy to get along with. We have some great ones here. Travis worked in our local tackle shops. He's a great warden. But definitely, I know you can gift them.
Yeah.
Okay. I can give Pete seven, and then I can get my seven the next day and still be legal.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I want to mention big thanks to Bill and the owner of the Mightier 1090. Put us on the front page of the section of the San Diego
Union today.
Yeah,
a nice ad celebrating our 31 years on the air. So thanks, Bill. And you know, and Bill's such a great supporter and doing such a great job with the Mightier 1090. Keeps getting better and better. But check that out. Great ad on the front page of the San Diego Union sports section today. Our chef, Jeff, from Costa Mesa, has some input on dead versus live. He says, dead, from a chef, lobster meat is like shrimp. Will start to deteriorate after death when whole. It's a chemical thing. The meat starts to get a little mushy. That's why shrimp is frozen when processed, as are the tails. So keep lobsters alive, then tail it, freeze the carapace for the stock, and cook it. And then sashimi is also great, too. So freeze that, too. So
I heard
so,
sashimi.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's good stuff.
I like it.
You have a good one, too, there.
I do.
You, huh?
This is from Robert in Canyon Country. And his question is, can you hoop net inside a Long Beach Harbor?
You can. Long Beach Harbor is actually really good. And there's some big trophies in there, too. So lots of people like to hoop net inside a Long Beach Harbor.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Big trophies.
Are there certain areas you can't go in?
You know, you got to be careful around the port there. You know, there's definitely some areas that are marked off.
Military.
And you don't want to be in any of the, you know, shipping channels either. But, you know, there's plenty of areas. That port's so big, you know, you won't have an issue finding a spot to hoop.
How do you feel about a 10-pounder? I mean, like in Long Beach, yeah. I know they're common, you know, a jumbo like that. I mean, is that something that you're...
You know, it's great for the pitcher. It's great for, you know, but a lot of people want to let them go and, you know, leave them for someone else to catch. You know, they
take the picture and let them go.
Yeah. Think about how long they've lived to get that size.
I think it's
about all the stuff in that flesh.
Yeah.
Well, so that's why I bring this up, Pete.
Yeah.
That lobster is probably 50 years old. And just imagine whether you're in San Diego Bay or you're in Long Beach Harbor. That thing has probably lived its entire life
in the harbor.
Period. End of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So let him go.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be healthy, in my opinion. Yeah. In my opinion there.
And but a nice 2 or 3 pounder that's coming in and out of the bay. And you know what? They're very easy to tell. The ones that are living in the rock and in the caves, and they usually have very short antenna. Their antenna are getting rubbed down from being in the crevices and the rocks,
really?
Okay? The ones that actually live in the bay their entire life, if you caught a 3-pounder and it has antennas that are 2 feet long, more than Will's laughing, he knows.
Yeah.
More than likely it's been in the harbor the whole time.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because they're sitting in a cave and
the ones that have the long antenna are living in the eelgrass. They don't have a threat of sheephead.
Uh-huh.
They don't have black sea bass trying to eat them.
See.
You understand? So they're just living in the eelgrass. Their antenna gets super long and bright red.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. Well, let's jump back in the phone.
Let's do it. How about James? James calling from Oceanside. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I think Corey already stole my thunder about preserving the lobster overnight. What I really wanted to talk to Corey about was swim baits and how best to preserve them. I know when we store them in plastic bags or in plastic cases, they sort of seem to deteriorate and get kind of slimy and sticky. And my solution has been to put them in paper bags. But I was wondering, when we're going into the off season, how best to store our swim baits. And thank you very much.
Yeah, James, by all means, it's a good question. I use a very high-grade product. It's very expensive, and there are minimal amount of fillers. There's no, I guess, byproduct in it, you know, to cut the material. They don't deteriorate like you're thinking. Like, I've had baits for 10 years, and they're best in a bag. They're best kept together. There are brands that use a lesser grade, and they do deteriorate. They do. That filler kind of disappears, and they end up...
They stick together.
They get sticky.
Yeah.
They shrivel up. They almost like a shrinky-dink when you're a kid, you know, in the oven. So that comes from an inferior product, honestly.
Yeah.
Mine, you can keep in a bag. They'll be 90% of what they were in 10 years.
There you go.
Simple.
All right.
Yeah. Good stuff, James.
Just from experience, I would say never mix brands. So if you have multiple swim baits, never put different brands together in the same place.
That's true.
Then it
could
like
be a chemical reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that lesser kind of bleeds and does all kinds of weird things. Like the colors, everything I have, none of it will bleed. 100%. I promise you.
All right.
Good stuff.
Hey, our buddy John Christensen from Point Loma Seafood also weighed in on the dead lobster. He says, dead lobsters have mushier meat depending on how long they have been dead. They must be refrigerated at all times regardless. So that's really important stuff. And thanks to John at Point Loma Seafoods, who knows quite a bit of lobster.
I think he does.
They'll be having those in their tank very, very soon.
He's been at it for how many decades?
A lot of them.
I can guarantee 35 years.
Yeah, a lot of years.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you'll have to text us. Let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe 40.
Yeah. A question from Kevin in San Clemente. He wants to know, how deep do lobsters live, Will? How deep have you caught them?
So I go up to 200 feet, but you can even get them deeper than that. Anywhere from 5 feet to 200 feet and deeper. It just depends on how deep do you want to pull.
That's true. So he wants to know if they live on the Tanner and the Cortez Bank.
Yes.
Yes, they do,
yeah,
right?
They're absolutely.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Why do you laugh, Steve? Like,
because there's guys last season that I know that tried dropping hoop nets, but they'd lost them because of the currents out there. That's the thing.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. Is if they're there, it's just a matter of, do you have gear that's heavy enough to hold that bottom? I mean, you're going to have to add a lot of weight. And then getting that hoop net back up is...
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, even a puller, you might burn the motor out from pulling it up that heavy of a hoop net.
Yeah, and there are some commercial guys that hoop.
Yeah.
That commercial fish it, but I'm sure they have a lot of bricks in those things.
Oh, yeah, and they're using hydraulic pullers that cost multiple of thousands of dollars, so it's just different.
And I know there's a lot of dive companies that sponsor, like, opening season dives out to Cortez Bank to dive for, and they get some giants out there.
Sounds kind of cool.
Can you imagine some prehistoric beasts that live down there?
Yeah. So, actually, just based off of research that I've done in the past, they say lobsters are found up to over 600 feet.
600 feet?
Yeah, 600 feet. So, and that's just based on people that have actually been dedicated to focusing research on lobster. So I'm sure they're probably even deeper than that. It's just a matter of people actually taking the time to go and research.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I do see the commercial gear in our local waters here, San Diego. I see it out in the 50 fathom.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like common, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, it's a great way to find your rockfish.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, John Christensen just texted. He's been there 52 years full time, and his brother Jack 63 years.
Oh my lord!
At Point Loma Seafood. So.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's go ahead and do you have another check there? I guess right.
Yeah, I do. I have one here.
Yeah.
And this comes from Gary White, the man.
The Iron Man.
Yeah. It says, good morning, Pete, Corey, and Promar staff. When I was a kid in the '60s at Redondo Beach. You go down and the hoop netters would take over the pier. Can people still hoop net around the pilings of the pier?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't even need a fishing license to fish off a pier, but you do need a lobster card if you're going to be hooping for lobster. So that's something to keep in mind. You don't need a fishing license, but you do need a lobster card.
Okay, so if you're targeting crab and you're in the lobster season, you need a lobster card.
No. Well,
no.
If you're going to have lobster in your possession,
okay.
Then you need a lobster card.
So if you catch that 2-pound lobster and you're fishing for crabs and you throw them back.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to throw them back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a lobster card.
I think you're just...
That's a lobster card. $10?
$10.
$12. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Something minimal.
And it's for the whole season.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So, Will, do you hoop inside the harbor as well as... I mean, like, you're right there at Pierpoint Landing. There's a lot of different stuff, the jetty and stuff like that. Or do you pretty much just run to Catalina?
I pretty much run to Catalina.
Yeah.
The harbor is definitely an option. And sometimes, you know, maybe the channel is a little rougher than I want to cross. So the harbor is always there. But... definitely, I prefer Catalina.
Yeah, all right.
And cool. It could be pretty darn good there, too.
Oh, Catalina's so much fun to hoop. So beautiful. And it's like a great night when you go over to Catalina and hoop.
Absolutely.
Love it over there. It's really kinda fun. Neat. And you're so close, what, 24 miles?
Yeah, from Pierpoint, like, 26 miles.
26?
Yeah.
You're there in an hour.
An hour, easy.
Yeah.
Having a great time.
Let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
Let's do it, Pete. How about Bruce? Bruce calling from Lemon Grove. Good morning, Bruce. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is, what information needs to be on my buoy?
Good question. Steve?
So on your buoy, you need your Go ID number, and you can find that on your fishing license or your lobster card. That's going to be the way that Fish and Wildlife will be able to identify who that hoop net belongs to. In the past, and I don't know if this law has changed yet, but it's on the table, in the past, if your Go ID number could only be on 5 hoop nets. So if you and your buddies go out, but you own all 10 of the hoop nets, your Go ID can only be on 5 of them. It can be on 10, but somebody else's Go ID has to be on the other 5, and that person has to be on the boat with you. You can't use your neighbor's Go ID and he's not on the boat with you. You have to have somebody else's Go ID on the second 5. So you can only have 5 in your possession. Technically, you can only fish 5 as a single person. So if you're fishing 10, you have to have somebody else's Go ID on the second 5.
And I think I stand correct. You cannot have number 11 on the boat as a spare.
No, you cannot. That is a ticket. Easy ticket for Fish and Wildlife. However, it's on the table now. I don't know if it's gone through. That they're eliminating that additional
go ID. I've heard that they're going to do that because that is the most ridiculous law.
Yes.
I mean, come on. I mean, I'm going to put my Go IDs and then I'm going to put a piece of tape and put somebody else's.
Yeah, so.
Like, as long as you're identifying
but,
it.
But
right?
Pete, you've got to handle it.
And especially for a guy like Will that's taken multiple people out. I mean,
at different times.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How do you handle that,
but,
Will?
It makes it very hard, but, you know, as long as you, like, for me, I have a consistent deckhand.
Yeah.
So my deckhands go
on. Okay, he'll be on the other one. Okay,
and good on them for wanting to change it, you know, or being willing to, you know.
Yeah,
kind of cool.
Yeah. Is that going to affect the season, you think?
I haven't heard anything
yet.
I know that it's been on the table since the end of last season. They haven't made any announcements on it, so I don't think it's been pushed through yet, but it's something that they're working on. And hopefully it gets pushed through because it is a little bit tougher for guys like Will who are running multiple trips with multiple different people.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier.
Hey, I had an interesting text from our goodie Bart from Bart Hall Shows, and he says, in the late 40s and 50s, there was no effective TV or radio advertising. Fred Hall was and his wife Lois and baby son Bart used to make ideal campsite on Rock Creek and invite all the sports writers to dinner just before the opening of trout season. He'd keep drinks cold in the stream. Now, adventure and camping provides that experience for everybody.
Oh,
so
cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's what Rick got to enjoy.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Bart, for that. And I know that's how we met Ryan and his great
was
experience
through Bart.
Was through the Fred Hall Shows and the Bart Hall Shows and Adventure and Camping.
So cool.
Yeah, it's a good stuff. Yeah, for sure. You have another one there, Corey?
I don't, actually.
I ran out
of them.
How could you run out?
I don't know. Well, there's so many.
Okay.
I got one here from
Dave in Mission Viejo. What's your favorite way to cook lobster? Will?
Ooh.
Steve?
I love to grill it.
I love
to grill it.
Yeah.
Same here.
You like to grill?
Yeah.
So cut them in half.
Yeah.
You grill them whole or you just grill the tail?
Butterfly them usually. I like
butterfly
the tail, grill it, and then throw a little bit of lime and garlic on there and salt and pepper.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you cook it 100% on the grill? I mean, I ask you this because when I do that, I steam them, and I do them like 80% of the way done, and then I butterfly them and put them on the grill. So I'm not singeing them, you know, but yeah.
See, I like them on the grill raw myself.
Okay.
I like just like putting them on the grill raw, and I think it just comes out.
Yeah.
I do it the same way.
I've heard of steaming them, but I haven't done it yet. I typically just do it right on the grill, and then we actually do I'll pull the meat out and do tacos, or we'll throw them in quesadillas. So we'll do lobster quesadillas as well.
Oh, yeah.
You're killing.
I see Chef Jeff, who's doing some recipes now on the Angler's Table for us in our newsletter. I see Chef Jeff. Thinking about some lobster
I think so,
here.
Man.
It's going to happen for sure.
Oh, man, a little garlic zested into the butter.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be right back. Talking more lobster. Actually, we're going to find out who's won both the Texter and the winner when we return on the Let's Talk Cook About the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. It was such a fun show talking lobster and all this good stuff, and promar.com is a place. But Mike from Rosemead is our caller, won their $50 certificate, and Matt from the 408 area code is the one that won on the texting end.
Yes, congratulations, and thanks for all the texters, tons of texts, tons of calls today, and popular stuff. And, again, Will, if somebody wants to go fishing with you, you're out of Pierpoint Landing, right? You have a charter name?
Yeah, Wet Willy Fishing.
Wet Willy Fishing. All right,
that's
I like
an easy
it.
One.
Yeah, you can find me at wetwillyfishing.com or on Instagram at Wet Willy Fishing.
Wet Willy Fishing. All yeah. right. And Instagram or
wetwillyfishing.com.
On
and
the
that's web. Willy with a Y.
W-I-L-L-Y?
Yes.
Sir. Okay, Willy. Okay, and then they also get a hold of you through... Pierpoint Landing.
Through Pierpoint Landing. But the easiest way is just to reach out to me directly.
Directly through your website,
yes.
wetwillyfishing.com. I like it. Easy and enough. Steve, Promar?
PromarAhi.com. You can find us on Instagram as well as YouTube. There's a ton of resources, as I mentioned earlier, when it comes to lobster fishing. So if you guys need to brush up on your skills, or if you're brand new to this, we got everything you need on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, and all the different products, too. I'm going to have to check out that lead line.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And all the floats, all the nets. You have great – by the way, Promar makes the best nets. For sure. There's a lot of nets that you guys carry in for anything, from trout fishing to everything.
Promar has made it dummy-proof.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. So check out PromarAhi.com, A-H-I.com. All right. Thanks, guys. Great job. Never enough time to talk about a good subject like lobster. Want to thank JP for manning the phones today. Appreciate that very much. And, of course, Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. This show will be up on the Let's Talk Hookup app in a matter of moments after Adam gets it up there. Next Saturday, Bob Dawson will be here traveling. And Sure Enough Expert. We're going to be talking some travel. And then next Sunday, Ali Husseini from BD Outdoors and Local Knowledge, and Yosef Husseini, the Angler's Realtor, will be here next Saturday. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Stuff app.